Just seeing everybody's pretty faces. Well, speaking of love, Pastor Chris sends his. He had the honor of teaching at the Bible school this week. Many of you all knew that. But so he'll be here bright and early Sunday morning. And you know what? I didn't really get a chance to fix that up. And I can use a handheld if it's going to be. I'm going to use a handheld. I know this one will be good. Okay, so he had mentioned when he was out there in California that he was going to, he was been asked by Tony Jones to do the, what is it, the impartations by conversation. Remember that? Those of you know who I'm talking about. That is not going to be live. Because he thought it was going to be live, but it's not going to be live. So it's going to be pre-recorded and aired later, but we will let you know about that. So he wanted me to let you know that so you're not just sitting around waiting for it to go live. Praise the Lord. Well, Father God, I thank you tonight. I just acknowledge you, Holy Spirit, that's going to help me tonight, give me utterance to speak. And I thank you, Father, that your word finds its place in our hearts and is just quickened to us by revelation of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's start over in Ephesians 1. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read several scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 16. Just bear with me. I'm going to be reading, so just pay attention. You know, the word of God, you know when you take, have anybody taken any strong medicine in here? Everybody, you know. Everybody had some really strong medicine. You know when you take that medicine and you sit in about 30 minutes, you're like, ooh, I feel that medicine. I know that medicine's work. Okay, the word of God is like that. If you just believe it, the word of God is not dead. It's not just words, but it's, if you take it in, it's like that strong medicine. It's working. Okay, so just as I'm reading this, just believe right now, as even as I read the word, the hearing of the word, that it's working, okay? So starting in verse 16, and Paul was praying this prayer for the Ephesians. And he said, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this was the prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now turn to Ephesians 3. I'm going to start by just reading these passages. Starting in verse 14. For this reason, he's once again praying, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now lastly, turn over to Luke 10. And I say lastly, like, for the moment. You're going to be turning other places. Luke 10:19. Jesus says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Amen. So tonight, we're talking about the authority of the believer. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to flip back to Ephesians 1 because we're going to be going back there. But so do you know who you are? You may say, well, I know I'm Amber. Well, no, we're not. Do you know you're not who you used to be? You're not just Brianna. You're not just Dave, right? I'm not just Amber. We're not who we used to be. Our very nature is different. In the new birth, our very nature is different. When you became born again, something supernatural took place. And when you received Jesus, you received his nature. Amen? So 2 Peter 1:4, you don't have to turn there, but it says that we are partakers of the divine nature. You've got a divine nature on the inside of you. Not just human nature, you have a divine nature on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. And so we're not just human. The very nature of God is on the inside of us. If you know Jesus, the very nature of God is on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And so when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, his prayer is that the church would get this. The reality of Christ in us and all that that means, right? Because we need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truth. We can read it, but it's by revelation of the Spirit that we really get it. That's right. Amen. So that's what I'm trusting is happening in you as we're just talking about this, that the Holy, and just trust him, that the Holy Spirit's going to quicken to you the reality of Christ in you. Yeah. Amen. And what that means for you. And so that's my prayer to you also. And so in the mind of God, you, when Jesus was raised, you were raised also. When Jesus was seated at his right hand, we were seated also with him. So in God's mind, this is already a reality. Our deal is we have to renew our mind to the word and see it as God sees it. That we were raised with Christ. We're seated with Christ right now. Where is he right now? That is where we are right now. He far above. We're far above. Amen? We're far above whatever it is you're facing. We're far above it. Amen? Doesn't mean we don't feel things, don't experience things, don't have tests and trials, but whatever it is, we are far above. Amen? And we have to know this. We have to know it. And not in our head, but like I said, by revelation. Amen? We are now seated with him. And all the authority that was given to him is given to us. All of it. Peter had this revelation. Let's read about Peter. Just flip over to Acts 3. Peter had this revelation about the authority, that he had the same authority. Acts 3. This is about the lame man that was laying at the gate, beautiful, and as people came in and out for prayer and in church, basically, he was asking for alms. He was asking for money. Okay, well, John and Peter came by that one day, And no doubt they probably saw him at other times. But that day they stopped and they said, look at us, look at us. And I'll read his exact words. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, right? But what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And what happened? He got up and walked. Peter said, what I do have, I give to you. What did Peter have? Yeah. Peter had authority. Peter had authority. Peter knew he had authority because he said, what I have, I give to you. He wasn't lying about it. He had it. He had the authority. He had the authority over that situation. And he knew he did. Amen. And so that circumstance responded to his command of authority. Amen. We have to know it just like Peter knew it. Amen. Now, turn to Acts 19. We're going to look at a situation where someone was trying to use the authority, but they didn't really have the power to back it up. The power to back up that authority was not with them. Amen. In Acts 19, in verse 11, it says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. So God was doing amazing things, right, in the church in this time. And, you know, the handkerchiefs, aprons were brought from his body to the sick. Okay. Now, verse 13, some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves. They took it upon themselves. Nothing had been delegated to them. They took it upon themselves. They saw what everybody else was doing. They saw, well, Paul's casting out demons. Paul's healing the sick. Paul's all of this. Well, they took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, they had no relationship. But he's doing it, so we're going to do it by the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. And also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. They did this. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Yeah. And Paul, I know. But who are you? Those evil spirits did not recognize any authority coming from them, did it? No. And it's really kind of funny, but then the man in whom the evil spirit was in leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, listen, the devil and his demons recognizes true authority. They did not have it. They were trying to do something without the power to back up that authority. Okay? But thank goodness that is not us. We're not the seven sons of Sceva. No, we not only have the name of Jesus, we have the Spirit of God on the inside. So, yeah. So we have the power. There is the power within us. What power is it? It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That's the same power that's working in us. We need a greater revelation. We need a greater revelation. Praise the Lord. It's the same power. You know, the devil has power. The devil does have power. He is not powerless. It's not made up. You know, the devil does have power. But the greater ones, we have greater power. We have a greater power on the inside of us. 1 John 4:4 says, he who's in you is greater than he that is in the world. So it doesn't matter the kind of power being displayed in this world by the enemy and the forces of darkness, there's a greater power on the inside of us. Amen? That cannot prevail against the church that knows. If you don't know, because the devil's a liar, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, be watching, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It does not say that he is a roaring lion. He acts like one. And so to those people unknowing, or they don't care to know who they are, he will lie to them. And he will make them believe that they have no authority, no power over him. And he has a lot of Christians afraid of him. There are a lot of Christians afraid of the devil and what the devil can do in their life. But if we have a revelation of who we are in Christ, we don't have to be afraid of the devil. Because the greater one, the greater power is on the inside of us. Amen? I mean, this is exciting. It says, regarding 1 Peter 5:8, it says, whom he may devour. Well, he may not devour me. You need to have that be your, he may not devour me. He may not devour my family. And it's because I say so. Because we're not speaking anything that's not in the Word. We're saying the same as the Word. I mean, when you're saying the same as the Word, you should be able to declare it just as if it came from you. Because we're in agreement with the Word. He cannot devour because I say so. Amen. Amen? So who has this authority delegated by God? Who has it? Every single believer. Every single person that calls the name of the Lord Jesus their Savior, from the 5-year-old, to the 80-year-old, to the newly born-again person, to the one who's been walking with God for 50 years. Every single believer has this authority. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 1:19, that's where we started over in Ephesians 1. It says that the greatness of his power is to us who believe. So do you believe? Do you believe? If you believe, this power is towards you. You know, it's in there whether you believe it or not. But you will not experience that power towards you if you do not exercise your faith in that power. Amen? It's there whether you do it or not. You know, if I have the keys to the car, I can drive it anytime I want to, but unless I get the keys out and put it in and start driving, they do me no good. So the power that's within you, unless you're tapping into that, unless you're exercising faith in that, it's not going to do anything for you. Amen. His power backs us up. When we use the authority that he delegated to us, his power is backing it up. Notice the 7 sons of Sceva did not have that. They tried to use the authority without the power to back them up. But we have both. We have the delegated authority, but we also have God's power. Which power? The same power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. I don't know of a greater miracle than Jesus being raised from the dead and all that was accomplished in that. That same power. That same power. Amen. So every believer has authority. You know, Peter didn't have any more authority than we do. Nobody has a greater authority. We have the same authority that Jesus has. And that's not being, you know, blasphemous or sacrilegious to say that. The Word of God says that we are seated with him. And where he's sitting, that's representative also of just his position, and it tells us his position is far above all principality. It lists everything down to the very lowest, and then it covers it by saying in every name that's ever to be named. You know, basically everything is beneath his feet. Amen. Praise God. We have to use that authority. Hallelujah. So every believer has this authority. And what kind of authority did he give us? I covered this. He gave us the same authority, the same as Jesus. Ephesians 2:6, it says that when we were raised, he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you know that God has done all he's going to do about the devil? Now, I didn't say he's done all he's ever going to do in your life. I didn't say it. But he's done everything he's going to do about the devil. He's already done it. Okay? He's given us what we need to overcome in every situation. We have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus. And we have been given authority. It says over in back in Luke 10, 19, it says that he gave us power over all the power of the enemy. He didn't say all, but just a little bit. I mean, there's a chance that you might not have some power over this area here. He said over all the power of the enemy. Why are we not walking like this? Why are we not, you know, day to day walking around like we know that we have this authority? We are not. I don't know. Maybe there's one person in here. I don't think so. I don't think there's one single person in here, me included, that is walking around every single day acting like we have this authority. Not all the time. Not all the time. Because our lives would look different. What are you putting up with? What are you putting up with? If Jesus had control over this situation, what would your situation look like? You know, there's not an instance, I don't think, in the Bible where the people are praying to God for him to do something about the devil. It says in James 4:7, it says that we resist the devil. When we resist the devil, he will flee. Not when God resists the devil. We have the authority. He's given us, he's told us to do it. You know, it's like Chris always tells the example of Rex and asking for milk, you know. The milk's there. Go get it. You know, God's saying, you've got the authority. Why are you asking me to do something that I gave you the authority to do? We don't need him to do it. He already told us to do it, to exercise our authority. Unused authority is wasted authority. It's kind of like the angels. Unless we acknowledge them or give them something to work with, when we confess the word, they can do something. They can cooperate with that word. But if we never confess the word, if we never acknowledge the angel's presence or help in our lives like they're meant to be, they're called to be ministering to us, for us, they're standing around twiddling their thumbs. I mean, they're probably not doing that, but, you know, just theoretically, you know, imaginatively speaking, I don't know how you say it. We have to give them something to do. There is a lot going on that we cannot see. There's probably more going on that we can't see than what we can see. But what we do in the realm of what we can see is directing the realm of what we can't see. Does that make sense, what I just said? We have to do something with our authority or it's wasted on us. So a lot of Christians are relying on other people's prayers. And sometimes that you're doing that and it seems like nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. Like you could have 20 people praying for you, even maybe faith-filled prayers of people. But there comes a point where we have to grow up and do some things. So God's, you know, we should reach a level of maturity that where if we're stranded on an island by ourselves, we can still do everything God told us to do. We can still have authority. We can still walk victoriously. So, yeah, some Christians just rely on other people's prayers. But it could be that your situation is waiting on your authority. Amen? What are you going to do about it? not what's my pastor going to do about it. What's my friend that knows how to pray? What are they going to do about it? Now, what are you going to do about it? What are you fed up with in your life? What are you going to do about it? Not what is your husband going to do about it. What are you going to do about it? So what kind of authority? He gave us the same authority. The same authority as Jesus. I'm praying that you really get that. And even I need to fully grasp that more. All that we can imagine that Jesus could do or say or walk in, we can do the same. You know what I mean? He has given us that. He has given us that same authority. And how much did he give us? He gave us all that we need. All that we need. Luke 10:19, over all the power of the enemy. So there is nothing that could come against you in your walk with God or in your life that you don't have the authority. Now, we may not be developed in using it, but we need to. We need to. Every single day, we need to be walking in our authority. Amen. It's time for the church to wake up. That we need to take our place. We're waiting on God to do a bunch of things, but what are we doing? We have to use our authority. We need to see ourselves seated with him. Praise God. I'll read this again. I'm in Ephesians 1:20. It says, that mighty power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age and that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. We're far above. Every enemy that could ever be named is under our feet. And I saw something today reading this, and maybe this may not be a new thing for you to think about, but this phrase, under his feet, he put all things under his feet. And I'm always imagining Jesus' feet. But, yeah, where are feet located? Feet are located on the body. The scripture calls Jesus the head, and the church is the body. So, listen, this should excite you. When it says he put all things under his feet, that means he put all things under our feet. Because we are the feet. We are the body. Jesus is not the body. He's the head. We're the body. We're the feet. All things are under our feet. And it's not because I'm just making it up or want to be like, you know, dare I say, like God. We're not God, but listen, he made us to be like him. And this says, it's everything's under his feet. We are the feet. Everything's under our feet. You need to look at your situation like that. It's not just under Jesus' feet, like I'm picturing Jesus and there's his feet. No, we're the feet. Because the feet are on the body. We're the body. Praise the Lord. This is something you just need to meditate in. He put all things under my feet. I'm not saying anything in that statement that's not here. Amen. We should pray these prayers. And a lot of times I don't take notes listening to a message because I like to sit there and take it all in and all that. But you should write these scriptures down in Ephesians 1. It was Ephesians 1:16-26 basically, and then Ephesians 3:14-21. These were the prayers that Paul was praying for the Ephesians. And if you pray these, the word will work in you. The Holy Spirit will start opening your eyes, will start enlightening you, your understanding to this truth. Amen. Because listen, the head gives direction, right? My head thinks, okay, I'm going to walk this way. But my head is not walking this way. My body's walking this way. God cannot do anything in the earth without his body working, without his feet moving, right? So we can't expect God to do everything. We can't expect God to take authority over things going on in our community. We're the body. We're the ones that are here in the earth. Amen. If we're not doing it, if the church is not walking in its authority, then God's authority is not working here on the earth, because it's working through us. Amen. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's start using this authority. Amen. Over our lives, over our families, in your businesses. And I was thinking about like a minister at a wedding ceremony, you know, at the end when they pronounce, you know, by the power vested in me by the state of Kentucky, I now pronounce you husband and wife. Well, that minister has been given authority by the state to declare that couple's married. We need to start declaring some things over our lives. You know, by the power vested in me, right? By God Almighty and his word, I pronounce my body whole. I pronounce my family restored. I pronounce my needs met. We don't need God to pronounce it. He already did in his word. What he needs is for us to pronounce it. He needs us to declare something. He's not declaring things over our lives, because he's already given us the word. He said, here it is. Here it is. This is what you need to do. We're not doing it. If you want something to change in your life, you need to start declaring some things. And, you know, even areas I can think of in myself that maybe something's not changing, and I think it should be changing, and I have to be humble and go, you know what, I think I'm going about it the wrong way. I think I'm going about this the wrong way. Maybe it's just waiting on me to just start declaring some things. And no, I'm not waiting on God. We know this. We're not waiting on God. God's already given us his word. He's already given us everything we need for life. Amen. And so we don't need God to declare it. He has given me permission. He's given you permission. Amen. To declare some things. So I just want to encourage you tonight, any ground that the devil has taken in your life because he's made you afraid, or because there's been mistakes made and now you're under condemnation. Any ground that the devil has taken in your life, you need to take it back. Because he doesn't have any authority over you that you don't give him. Yeah, because he recognizes authority. When you realize and when you understand who you are, and that he has no power over you that you do not allow him to have, he'll realize that's not going to work on them anymore. Amen? So we need to stop being afraid of the devil and put him in his place. Put him in his place. So you need to take back any ground you've given to him. Amen? So I'm going to close with this. I'll read in 1 John 4:17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. As he is, so are we in this world. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You guys can stand with me. Father, I just thank you tonight. I thank you that the entrance of your word brings light, and I thank you that you're